welcome to another edition of the Daggers and Lids podcast. Charles Dagnall and Lydia Greenway with you. We've not long since had a podcast and uploaded it, and we were talking about the 100 draft and the WPL final and numerous other things, Lydia, and we were having we were looking forward to a relatively quiet weekend. And then in the space of 24 hours, England announced that the women's head coach, John Lewis, would be stepping down, as would, 24 hours later, would be the England captain, Heather Knight. Now, John Lewis, who has been in situ since November 2022, he leaves with an 83% winning record. And Heather Knight, 199 games in charge of England and almost 9 years at the helm. These are fairly wide-reaching decisions that have been made after the review that was had. Lots of questions come up. Lydia, we will have lots of questions from people who have actually texted in, or not texted in, but tweeted in and put questions on the Instagram. But quite the 24 hours, we wondered what the results of the review would be. And it seems that these, well, put it this way, they are the first two of the decisions that have been making that have been made since the review. What was your immediate impact? Let's go chronologically. What was your immediate impact, firstly, of John Lewis, and then, if you will, Heather Knight?
Yeah, I think ultimately, when you have a 16-0 scoreline from an Ashes series, when there was lots of hope and expectation that it would have been a closer series, I think there has to have been changes. I think if there weren't changes, I think it would have fed into the narratives that were bubbling underneath the surface about the England setup. So, yeah, John Lewis, unfortunately, it wasn't a surprise for me and probably for you and for a lot of people. It's a shame because we both know him. We've had chats with him. He's a really good guy. He was trying to do what he thought was best for the group. But unfortunately, it just hasn't worked. And ultimately, he's paid the price. And as we know, that is professional sport. I think for Heather, it's slightly different. I think clearly that decision was taken out of her hands. And I think I've spoken before, I think Heather is someone similar to Charlotte Edwards who have given so much to this England side that it's a shame that the decision was taken out of her hands. I would have loved her to have maybe been allowed to have made that decision herself. But the good thing is that she will still be available for England. So England still have that opportunity to keep her within the setup and use her experience and knowledge. Now, how that will look, we don't know, because that dynamic could be very different depending on who the coach will be. So lots of unknowns moving forwards, but they were my initial reactions to those two bits of news. How about you? What did you think? We were texting over the weekend, weren't we? Quite frantically.
Oh, I mean, we frantically text each other anyway. this doesn't necessarily have to do anything with cricket, but we do. And my initial thoughts were something or someone had to carry the can for the Women's Ashes performance. Now, ultimately, that is always going to be, you're going to look at your head coach. I don't think he is entirely to blame for England's slide. A large element does fall on his shoulders, yes. And I know that when the press releases came out, you know, this whole 83% winning percentage and all of that, and that's all well and good. But I go back to the film Moneyball, and a very sort of, and I'm going to probably bastardize the quote here from Brad Pitt, but he's absolutely right. Doesn't matter how many games you win, unless you win the last game of the season. And it doesn't matter how good your winning percentages is, if you don't win at a World T20, if you don't win a World Cup 50 over, or if you don't win in Ashes, it doesn't matter how many games you win, because they are what ultimately you are going to be judged on. And I think, let's not forget, he was in charge of England in that fantastic Ashes series of 2 years ago, where it was 8-all and England winning both white ball sections of that Ashes series. So let's people have got relatively short memories, and I know we can be just as bad sometimes. Mm. So are there elements of things that he has done well over his tenure? Absolutely, yes, I think he has. But I think also there are elements that had to be questioned. I think the approach, the nous of England on the field, some of the tactical aspects of you know, going about some of their cricket has been pretty ordinary. Athleticism, fitness, all of these sort of things that have been talked about ad nauseum, you know, that does fall on the head of the head coach to a certain degree. I, you know, he doesn't have carte blanche, but I think, you know, that is where it ends up. And a 16-0 defeat, I think you're going to carry the can. I was with you with Heather Knight for a slightly different reason, perhaps. Do I think that Heather Knight is the best tactical captain England have got at their disposal right now? Absolutely do. And the other thing is, and the reason I say this as a reason, is that I don't think they've got that available to them right now outside of her. Therefore, I'm sure with a new captain and a new coach that's going to come in, you know, they will have their selection and they will make a captain out of whoever is available. But are they tactically as astute and aware as Heather Knight? No, I don't think they are. Because we've seen, you know, we've seen Nat Siverbrunt take over. I've seen other players in domestic cricket captain sides, and they've not looked anything like as comfortable as Heather Knight is. Now, of course, when you're in the job 9 years, then you're going to get better and stuff. So I was more surprised about Heather Knight. It's interesting the fact that I don't think it was being reported that I don't think she wanted to leave. And that has, you know, that's another thing that has to be added into the mix. But the fact that she's going to stay on and play, I think she's one of England's best two batters. And I think her T20 batting, people sort of don't acknowledge her T20 batting, and you look at her record, and it's in the past, it hasn't been great. But then you look at innings like at Canberra, when she got that 40 off 19 and the rain halted what could have been. Australia were in the ascendancy, but it could have been. And the way she batted there, that shows you how capable she is in that format. Mm. So it was a surprise to me that they followed on so quickly. But maybe there is something in the background that is to be announced within the next week. I don't know. One thing I'd like to know, Lyd, I don't know if you're of similar thinking, I'd like to know some of the results of this review. And you'll say, well, the results are that the captain and the coach have been got rid of. Well, who was on the review? What independent people were on the review? Who was involved in these decisions that were being made? That is what I would like to know. I would like to know, actually, some of the results, other results than, oh, we'll get rid of the captain, we'll get rid of the coach and everything will be fine. That's left me wanting more, hasn't it, for you?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think because it was acknowledged that there would be a review and that it would be, it sounded like it would be quite formal. So if that was the case, then you would assume that there would be not just the announcements, but actually, you know, these are the things that we have found, and actually moving forwards, these are the things that we want a new England team to be addressing moving forwards.
It would happen in men's cricket.
Yeah, because of the profile of it and the scrutiny of it. And my sense is, when I look on, it's probably escaped me a little bit, but when I look on social media and some of the big news outlets who cover the games, the comments, there's hundreds of comments about this England women's team now. And, you know, back in the day when I was playing, when you were covering us as an England women's team, there were maybe tens of comments, and it was probably 5 out of 10 comments were from the same person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
The scrutiny now is much more vast, and I think that means that there has to be more that comes from the ECB, because, accountable, that's the big word, isn't it? I think that's the key thing moving forwards for this England team is making everyone involved a little bit more accountable.
What would be Heather Knight's legacy as England captain?
2017 World Cup win, I would say. I know it came pretty quickly, didn't it, after she was appointed. But I think when you think of any sports person, you think of, okay, well, what were they most successful at? What was their big point in their career? And it was the 2017 World Cup win at home against India at Lord's in front of a packed out stadium. People who know her and have followed the game more, I think, would probably delve a bit deeper into that and say, you know, she was calm, she was pretty robust and thick skinned, all of that sort of stuff. But on the surface, I think it was that World Cup win at home. What would you agree with that? Or yeah. Do you look a little bit deeper than that?
Well, a little bit, but not deeper, but just maybe in a different angle. I don't know how deep I am.
We're quite simple people, aren't we, quite, really?
Let's be honest. But I also look at the time that she spanned as England captain. The role of England captain when she took over from Charlotte Edwards in 2016, that has sort of been widened from the English with the more exposure and the bigger the game has got, the higher the standards and the more demands are placed on you as England captain. And that's not just on the field as well. You hold the ambassadorial roles, the sponsors gigs, the, you know, with new sponsors and new money comes more things that you have to do for them. And the transition from a relatively new professionalism when she took over, because let's remember, I think it was 2015 when the first central contracts were handed out. She's taken over in 2016. You know, she's had to all of this to deal with, new franchise tournaments that have popped up around England availability. So much has changed during her span as England captain. Not once has, and I remember, and it's something that Vishantharaja has written in his piece in Crick Info, that sort of saying about when she first took over, she was a little bit shy in front of the media. She wasn't the best public speaker, and she did lots of different courses and went on management degrees and all of that sort of stuff to become a better speaker, or not just to become a better speaker, but in so doing, that had made her. And I thought she was excellent. She was always giving of her time as England captain. She always fronted up. Even if it was sort of the cliched answers that she gave, at least she gave them. At least she was there. And there was also elements of the sort of paving the way for women, you know, things. I remember talking to her at the end of the Bristol Test match against India in 2022, I think it was, and sort of saying, we want 5 days. We want five days. Women deserve 5 days of Test match cricket. And we're all there going, yeah, we do. As in, they do. And so little things like that and pay disparities, you know, in 100 cricket and all of this sort of thing. She's been at the forefront of that, and especially within a role of the PCA. So I think she's had to negotiate expectation, a bigger media, a bigger following. And I think she's done it with a huge amount of skill and to deal with everything that she has done. I think that, as well as 2017, you know, you think of what 2017 did for women's cricket in this country.
Yeah.
And being the face, you know, being pretty much the face of that victory. I think that's going to be her legacy. There's been downsides as well. There's been down moments, no doubt. But I think an overwhelmingly positive. Just before you come back in, I've completely stolen, as we do on the Daggers and Lids podcast, we always thank Hypercourse for his statistical things that he puts on his social media. Follow_Hypercourse to get some great information, not just about England women, but about all women's cricket. Heather Knight finishes her tenure as captain, having led the second most matches for England women, 199, with the best win percentage by any woman to have captained England more than 20 times in all formats, 69%. During her captaincy, she became the first woman in the history of international cricket to score centuries in all three formats. And in each format, she had the second best batting average among England women's captains to have scored 500 plus more runs. So in Test cricket, she averaged 57.92 as captain. Only Rachel Hayhoe-Flint bettered that. And only Lottie has bettered that in one day international and T20 cricket, not by much. Now, of course, this is this has to be tempered with the fact that there's not been that many England women's captains in the modern era, if you like. And so statistically, but there's still it's still a pretty good record. Anyway.
Yeah, I think the other thing to add to that as well is her robustness physically. So people might remember back in 2014, I think it was with the Ashes, and we'd won them at home, and our last game was a T20 up in Durham. And in that game, she was batting and she came out of her crease against the spin. She's missed the ball. She tried to get back into her crease. She's basically done the splits, and in doing so has pretty much ripped her hamstring off the bone. Mm-hmm. And some people might not realise that, but for a lot of cricketers or athletes, that's a career-ending injury. And she has managed that throughout her whole career. And not only has she managed that, she has sort of pushed her body to the limit as well in terms of fitness. And I think that's something that, you know, you've alluded to it, the type of character she is. But I think that should be commended as well, just that ability to get through something that could have quite easily ended her career.
Very much so. So, obviously, that sort of era is done. She also spanned three head coaches. I just wonder as well, it was something that was written in Vish's piece, that the three head coaches that she sort of had was Mark Robinson and Lisa Kightley, and then finally John Lewis. And it alluded to in the piece that saying that maybe during the tenure of the last two coaches, maybe she could have moulded the side more in her image, potentially. That, well, you know, that's just a sort of general wonderment, I think, because hindsight is a wonderful thing. But I think it's a very, you know, it's a very good point to have raised, potentially. We now move on. And before we move on to who we think the next captain and coach is going to be for England women, there has to be, I'm going to go back to the review a little bit, because there are, and we've mentioned on this podcast before, how the hierarchy, if you like, the managing directors and those within the, above the coaching staff, if you like, you know, a bit of this falls down on them as well. And I'd like to have known what sort of reviews of their roles within that there will be. And I'm talking Claire Connor and Jonathan Finch and people of that kind of ilk, to sort of allow it to get to the stage where it got to this winter. And that's why I would like to see a published sort of review, if you like, of what was talked about. And because the questions are still there for me a little bit. Are they for you?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. And I think we spoke about how it's hard to mark your own homework if you want to get to the bottom of something properly. And that was something that we spoke about on the last podcast as well, I think. So, yeah, I'm with you. It'd be good to know a little bit more about actually what else has come out, apart from obviously these two big decisions.
Right. Let's go through some questions, because I threw it out on social media. And as I say, we're going to move on. And these questions pretty much sort of hit the nail on the head of where we want to move on to. So thank you so much for all of you who sent through questions on Twitter or X or whatever it's called, and Instagram as well. Let's just bash through them, Lid. The greatest of all time, .74, asks, should Heather Knight been allowed to step down? I think we've pretty much covered that. If she, you know, she didn't want to, did she? And, you know, and a lot depends on, you know. All right, here's a question just stemming from that. Whose decision will that have been, do you think? Is that the coach that they want to get in situ? Have they already got a coach in situ, do you think, for that decision to have been made?
For Heather not to be captain anymore? Yeah. I think my assumption is This is based on the fact that when Charlotte Edwards lost the captaincy, Claire Connor drove to her house and told her. So my assumption is something similar has happened. I have no idea as to how it was done, but that would be my assumption. I don't think surely they haven't appointed a coach already, because they would have only just been dealing with chatting to John Lewis and saying, you know, he's not going to do the role anymore. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it would, but I still find it really odd. You know, why does this decision have to be made day after? You know, maybe the new coach comes in, looks at the options available and goes, actually, no, Heather's the right fit for this. I don't understand why necessarily it's been made 24 hours later, but be that as it may, that's the decision that's been made. R. Hobden 9 has asked, who do you think, it's quite simple, this is the easiest way of moving on, who do you think will be the new England coach and captain? Right. And Anna Perna Priya has also asked, who can take this team forward now? What other changes do you want to see in this team? So let the predicting commence. Let the...
You want to go first?
No, I'll let you go first.
Okay, so
Let's start with coach.
Yeah, coach. So coach. So I was covering an IPL game yesterday with the BBC, and I did a chat in the mid-innings, and they asked me the same question, and I was pretty blunt with my answer.
What? You have spoken to a BBC outlet about this very topic before us. How dare you? I am shocked to my very core.
So my answer was, I basically sift through all the other candidates and I was very straight to the point, and it was Lottie for lots of reasons that people will know. So I suppose that is the most obvious one, and the person who I think is the person to lead this England side forward. I think other names, if we want to spitball a few, I think Matthew Mott, obviously most successful coach in the women's game. Who else has got? I guess the other international coach is someone like Ben Sawyer, who's the current New Zealand head coach, obviously led them to the World Cup win, former Sydney Sixers coach as well, has worked with the Australian team. Some outsiders, someone like Rebecca Grundy, who's over in Western Australia. She's working with them and Perth Scorchers. Shelley Nitschke, I don't think she's going to put her name in the ring. I think she's too much of a patriotic Aussie to apply for the role. Other names, what have you got coming to mind there, Daggers? Any other names?
John Batty.
Possibly.
Because of his work at the Oval Invincibles, his work in the women's game, it has, you know, he knows the women's game very well. And he's taken the Delhi Capitals, albeit not to a championship, he's taken them to three finals. And from all accounts, you know, the environment in that Delhi Capitals dressing room is a very good one. I think that also stems from having a very good leader in Meg Lanning. So I think those two work in conjunction very, very well indeed. And we're talking outside at the moment. Mark Robinson is the name. He's at work. He knows the England camp. And he, you know, has had success as an England coach. Would I think that he is top of the list? Absolutely not. No, I don't think so. I'm just thinking of names at the moment.
Yeah. Well, John Lewis is another one. The other John Lewis,
the one who's going with England A at this moment in time, there's potential. I think there'll be some very interesting candidates for it. But I think what they have, if you imagine a sort of newspaper headline, and the headline is Charlotte Edwards, and that is the biggest font that they can possibly have, that is the name that is at the top of the list. And I think the names that we have mentioned are in slightly smaller font after a little bit of a gap. And then a smaller font of even other names that could apply for the role. Mike Hessian was another one that I thought about, actually.
Former New Zealand coach,
and I don't think he's doing a great deal at this moment in time, and a very well-regarded head coach as well. The Matthew Mott one interests me, I have to say. And the reason is that, you know, he had a torrid time as England men's white ball head coach. And everyone said, oh, Matthew Mott, let's get him out. Well, it turns out England were crap without him as well. I don't think necessarily, I'm talking about the England men, I don't think necessarily he was the problem. The problem was, you know, within the environs of the dressing room, perhaps. You know, you don't turn into a bad coach, you know, when you've had as big a success as Matthew Mott has. And who are you chasing? You are chasing Australia. And who built Australia to the way that they are? He did. Now, would he be inclined to come back to the ECB or England cricket, given how he would probably feel he was treated at the end of his tenure as England men's one-day international head coach? I don't know. The other aspect is with Charlotte is that, you know, would she want to keep her other gigs going? She's got a lot of gigs. You know, she's... you know, I was going to say Southern Vipers, but, you know, Southern, she's now Hampshire head coach. She's Southern Brave head coach. She's Sydney Sixers head coach. She is the Mumbai Indians head coach. And the Mumbai Indians have won 2 out of 3 WPLs, and the Ambanis aren't short of a few quid. And, you know, if they sort of say, we want you to stay because you're a successful head coach and here's the dollars, you know, that's something that might, you know. If I'm Charlotte Edwards, but England... I think from the outside in, from a supporter's standpoint, I think they all pretty much want Charlotte Edwards. And if Charlotte Edwards isn't the head coach, people are going to want to know why. I think she is in a fantastic negotiating position. I've got to be honest. Let's look at the business side of this from her perspective. You know, she's had huge success wherever she's gone from a franchise, and she's learnt her coaching as she said she wanted to do. She said she wasn't ready for the England job at one point. I think she now will feel that she is more than ready. I think she's in a very good position to do that. So I think that is the view on the coach. Captaincy led.
Captaincy. So again, the obvious one at the moment is Nat Sivabrant. She's done it before. She's covered when Heather's been injured or hasn't been able to play for England for whatever reason. And she is the player who's going to play all formats. So that, I suppose, is an answer which assumes that any named captain will do all formats. My concern is that it could be too much for her. And is she the right captain? Because I think she's the obvious option, that because there really are no other names that forcefully spring to mind. We've spoken a lot about Charlie Dean. Mm-hmm. But I do think in this situation it is very much going to be sink or swim, because it will be so much of an unknown. If Nat Sivabrant isn't appointed captain, whoever is, it will be, okay, we don't actually know how this is going to go, but we're going to have to put someone's name in the ring and see how they go. So Charlie Dean could be that person. Remember, I mentioned about when Meg Lanning was appointed captain. I don't think she was someone who people thought, oh, she's a natural captain. And then she's gone and become the best captain in the world. So Charlie Dean could fall into that bracket. It's interesting about the formats. So I think if you then look at splitting it, let's say 50 overs and tests, Tammy Beaumont wouldn't be a bad candidate for that. The question then is, okay, well, how much longer is she going to play for? And then you can maybe have Nat Sivabrant as T20 captain. But again, how long are those two players, Kate Cross, throw her name into the ring, how long are those three players going to be playing for? Then you have to start looking at other names who currently aren't being picked for England. So Holly Armitage, Grace Scrivens, who have been named as the England A captains for the tour that they're on at the moment. So there we go, Daggers. That's a roundabout answer for not giving you an answer, is it? But I think
you have.
I think it's the situation that we're in, isn't it? There's no clear person to do the role at the moment, because this succession planning hasn't been great, unfortunately. Which of those names take your fancy, Daggers, if any?
Well, let's from my point of view, let's give an answer on Nat Sivabrant. I think when she has stepped into the breach, I think she hasn't had a great feel for the game. weirdly, as wonderful a player as she is. And she is, you know, an electric player, with especially with bat in hand. And she's England's best player. And, you know, matches are won and lost because of what she does and how she approaches the game from her own personal standpoint. Now, you're adding another burden onto her there of the captaincy. She's now going to look after 10 others. And then she's got to, you know, I don't want to take Nat Silverbrunt's mind off the job that she does so well now and reduce her output. Because if you reduce her output, England's output goes down and the facts and the figures will speak for themselves.
Mm.
So I'm sort of leaning on going away from that. She's not had a great time when Heather's been off the field. You think of the Commonwealth Games, you think of the World T20 against the West Indies and other games as well. And I'm just like looking and just, I don't think you've got a feel. Now, I'm going to temper that a little bit with, I wonder how difficult that is, you know, as a vice-captain, stepping into a role that you know is not necessarily yours, that you can't necessarily make your own because you know you're doing it just as a stopgap measure. Rather than taking on all of it and, as I said earlier, moulding aside in your own image kind of thing, is she... We don't know that. She might actually have that ability about her, but from what we have seen, we can only speak of what we have seen, and that's how I've sort of taken it. I don't want to take away my best player and add more to her. But the flip side of it, she does what kind of Ben Stokes has done and turned into this talismanic leader of men and kind of thing. And she can do the same on the women's side. But my gut tells me that's not necessarily going to be the case. That's what my gut says. And I want, now what I've got Heather Knight, who outside of Nat Silverbrunt is my best technical player, right? Across three formats. And people sort of say, oh, you know, time to get new people in for the T20. Well, maybe. But I wouldn't change Heather Knight's position because she's like a Swiss Army knife. You know, if you're in the shit, sorry everybody, but if you're in it, she can sort of get you out of it, work your way, work singles, or she can find your boundaries as well. So I'm loath to take that away. Split captaincy. Someone mentioned Tammy actually on one of the questions. And there's lots of questions on this. Let me just run through some.
Going through them.
Rocket Nitro 1992. I'm sure that's not a real name. But saying, let's say Nat Silverbrunt is appointed as a stopgap captain. Who are the candidates England should be looking to groom for the future? Should they try and split the captaincy in ODIs and T20s? It's not tried in women's cricket as far as I know. Good question. Carly Baldwin asks, do you think there's still room for a more specialist captain who wouldn't necessarily get into the team on ability alone to be appointed in a team that seems short on natural leaders? Could that be an option? My gut feel very quickly on that one is no. There's no room for a Mike Brearley type of captain. Especially everyone's got to do something and just to be a captain is not going to cut it. I'm sure you agree with that.
Agreed,
Lydia.
Yeah.
And Leslie Conroy asks, who are your picks for both positions? Hers only _5 says, do you think it would be right for NSB to take up the captaincy considering she has so much responsibility on her shoulders? Would it be right to burden the best player England has? And Emma Richards, 20, says, a common opinion is Tammy Beaumont is the new captain. Should she rejoin the T20s? So they're pretty much the questions. Everything sort of similar in this kind of similar vein. Tammy, for me, she's 34.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to start looking towards the future. And that's no slight on Tammy in the captaincy. She has done brilliantly with the Welsh Spire. She has got them progressively better over a couple of years. I think tactically she's pretty astute, but does she deserve her place back in the T20s? That's not for me to answer.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she'll get back in, I know England wanted to get kind of younger could the captaincy be split? I don't know. I think possibly it could be. Tammy's got as much of a argument or a claim on her rights as captain, I think, as someone else. I don't know. And this is why I go back to the review lid. And the succession planning. You know, why hasn't the succession planning been put in place ages ago? You know, it really is poor for us to be having this discussion. I'm with you. I think Charlie Dean will make a very good captain. Is it right for her to do so yet? Don't know. But why wasn't, you know, at the moment they've sent Grace Scrivens is going to captain the T20s and Holly Armitage, as you say, is going to captain the Test and the 50-over games. Fine, I've got absolutely no problems with that. No problems with that at all. But I might have been tempted to, you know, phone up a couple of potential captain options and sort of say, Charlie, go and captain this. Yeah, you know, you've not played a great deal of cricket over at RCB, played one game, you know. What an opportunity to go over or see how she does. I don't know, because I think it's too early for Grace Scrivens. And I like the fact that they're thinking of her in those terms. But and also, you know, I just get frustrated that this succession planning has not really been taken into consideration. And that's I don't think is up to John Lewis, and I don't think that's up to Heather Knight. I think that's for those above. If those above are making the decision to remove a captain, then those above have got to be the ones who take it on board, that they are the one that have to look down the line at future captains.
Yeah. I mean, Holly Armitage is an interesting one for me, because I think the argument in recent times has been perhaps Holly Armitage and Grace Scrivens aren't quite there yet in terms of England level. But I think if you look at Holly Armitage and her game now and what she's been doing, she's been over in Australia. She's also been over in New Zealand playing some cricket. And just looking at her scores, like, she scored a century for South Australia against Queensland.
Yeah.
But that would be a proper century, because when you look at the teams who make up the state sides, they are proper teams. Scores of 55, 72 not out, 47. So she's been away and she's been playing some really good cricket. I mean, there is an argument to be said, well, okay, let's get Holly into the team, because at the moment, someone like Alice Capsey isn't one of the first names on your team sheet. Sophia Dunkley has been in and out of the team as well. So maybe there is an opportunity there to see if someone like Holly Armitage it's harsh, isn't it, to say, actually, go in. We need to see if you're good enough first, and then you might be the captain. But that's just the pickle that they're in. They haven't been able to give a run for someone to prove that they might be a good next captain after Heather or Nat.
The problem I have with Holly Armitage, I tried to get this out before, but my words wouldn't come, surprisingly. The problem I have with Holly Armitage captaining this little leg of the tour is not as Holly as a captain. I think she's a really astute captain. I think she's done brilliantly over the last 3 years. And as a player as well, her levels have risen. And as you say, that 100 she scored for South Australia, that, you know, proper hundreds. I want to see more England players or England qualified players doing that sort of thing. She's got numbers behind her. But England need a captain now.
Yeah,
they need a captain now. You can't turn around to Holly Armitage. She has a great A tour, right? Yeah. Turn around to Holly Armitage. She's not played for England yet.
Yeah,
and you cannot ask her to come in and captain the side. I think that is far too much for one person.
No, I agree.
Therefore, why is she captaining this?
Mm.
You know, Alice Capsey would be a better choice, as because at least she is an England international, whether she is in and out the side or not, you know. Or you take someone that you want to see potentially as your future England captain go over and lead those sides. So it's a weird one for me. Who I think will be, this is going to be really boring. Who I think they'll pick is Charlotte Edwards and Nat Silverbrun. That's what I think they will do. But I don't think it should be as clear-cut as that. I really don't. And, you know, they've got a relatively simple, sorry to say, but a relatively simple series to the start of the year against the West Indies. And then, obviously, India come over and they've got home field advantage and all of that sort of stuff. And I fully expect England to win it, whatever happens, whoever's captain. But that will be the expectation. But it's in those... How many times have we said it, Lyd? It's in those crutch moments The clutch moments where these decisions can have bearings on whether you win a trophy or not. And you've got to have the right person in to do that.
Yeah. One thing I would say is if it is Charlotte Edwards and Nat Sivabrunn, I think one of Lottie's strengths is developing captains tactically. So, you know, was lucky to work over in the Mumbai Indians with her, and she was working with Harmanpreet Kaur. And I think the work that she did with her on a one-to-one basis throughout the competition, I think it took Harman's game to the next level tactically. So I think if there are question marks over Nat Sivabrunn in terms of her maybe tactical astuteness or whatever it might be, I think one of Lottie's strengths is actually upskilling people really well from a tactics point of view. So that's... that could be one thing that will develop for the better if it was that combination, even though at the moment it's not as clear cut as we think it is.
No, and it's an interesting one as well. Just on that, people of us who you would like to, I think Charlotte Edwards is the absolute set in stone number one candidate for England cricket right at this moment in time. We've known Lottie, you've known Lottie a lot longer than I have, and you've played alongside her. You've also coached alongside her with the Mumbai Indians, and you've seen that develop into the person and the coach that she is today. I can only speak of what I've seen on the field and sort of off it and in conversations with her. I think she's a hugely impressive individual anyway. But just to listen to her talk about the game and the way that she coaches and stuff like that, and someone who, you know, the players will instantly respect. And she is also a lot sort of, you know, she's lovely to talk to and stuff, but I think there is a hard steel to Charlotte Edwards as well that will make tough decisions, that is not afraid to make tough decisions and to tell people how it is. I certainly hope she would when going into that England dressing room, because her expectations and her levels are sky high. So I think that's who should be the England head coach, but we'll wait and see how it all pans out in the future. We've got to a sort of general consensus, I think. We've thrown enough names around. Has Lydia Greenway applied for England head coaching job?
No. Do you know what? I was just thinking.
Why not? I'd play for you, Lyd.
It would have been a boring podcast if we said, right, who's going to be the next England captain and coach? We said Charlotte Edwards and Nat Sivabrunn. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Yes, thanks for listening. See you next time. It's been great. And download us again, will you, for more informative insight. I think we've got to talk about the names and also the situation surrounding what has gone on and the announcements. And as I keep saying, I would like to see or hear from someone within that review for far more detail and to put some meat on the bones. Moreover, to stop us guessing necessarily, to actually, you know, put us right if we are wrong about things. I have no problems about being wrong, but we've got to kind of guess because we don't know. We've not been told. Let's stick with the England A side. Just briefly, the rest of the news that we're going to round up and the sad news that Danny Gibson has been forced to withdraw from the England A side that is going to be touring Australia. She has picked up a stress fracture of the back. Doesn't sound like it's going to be a short-term thing for Danny Gibson. These things are very, very testing for bowlers. And she had a great game. I have to say, she had a great game in that eliminator for the Gujarat Giants, opening the batting. Thought she was decent with the ball on a very, very good surface. And that's just sad news for her because she really was, you know, on the rise, Danny Gibson.
Yeah, she was. And one thing I've noticed is from a fitness point of view, ironically, with a lot of the chat around England, she had worked so hard to get herself properly fit. And you could tell that. I'm sure you would have been able to have seen that.
I said this to you over in India. I was watching her bowling warm-ups out in the Midlands stuff, and she was hitting 70 miles an hour, you know, with the speed gun. And I looked at her and went, looks strong. Looks really fit and strong.
Yeah, and I can only imagine how demoralising that must be. Fingers crossed for Danny that she's not out for too long and that she can come back stronger, because there's no doubt she'll be an important player for England moving forward, definitely.
Very much so. Very much so. Yeah, massively impressed with that game that she had in for the Gujarat Giants. And just finally, Australia are playing New Zealand, the World T20 champion New Zealand side, over in New Zealand, and Australia are, well, they're winning. They won the first one quite comfortably by 8 wickets. New Zealand 137 for 2 off their 20 overs, which Australia knocked off in 13.3 overs. They've pretty much hammered them by 8 wickets. Beth Mooney 75 off 42. Georgia Vol 50 off 31. So they cantered to victory, did Australia against New Zealand in the first. And in the second, Australia 204 for 3 in their 20 overs. New Zealand were rolled out for 122. Beth Mooney 70, Georgia Vol 36, Phoebe Litchfield 32, Elise Perry 29, and Annabelle Sutherland 23 not out. And as for the bowling, it was 3 for Alana King, 2 for Darcy Brown, 4 for 8 off 2.1 overs for Annabelle Sutherland.
Not bad there at the office, is it?
Yeah, not much to add to that, really. I'd like to be really, really in depth about it, but I look at that side and go, yeah, they're really, really good. And it's nothing we don't know. And the top players are performing fantastically well. Annabelle Sutherland with a ball in that WPL, let me tell you. She was that enforcer role, and goodness me, add that to the way that she can bat. A fearsome opponent for anybody, and we look forward to seeing her for the Northern Superchargers this upcoming summer. Lids, I think we're done. Until something happens and other people either stay or go or get announced. But we, as ever, we thank you for downloading us, for watching us on our YouTube channel, and we will be back very, very soon to discuss more women's cricket here on the Daggers and Lids podcast.